Welcome to Sprouts, Radio from the Grassroots, a weekly program that showcases radio productions from this and many other independent community stations across the country. We bring local stories to a national audience from a different location every week. I'm Dory Smith of Talk Nation Radio in Storrs, Connecticut.
Some people definitely have made that charge that this is not so much a grassroots campaign as it is an astroturf campaign, meaning that it's artificially spread from the top rather than coming organically from the below.
We hear from Brian Frederick, Deputy Editorial Director at Media Matters for America in Washington, D.C., Thomas McMillan of the New Haven Independent in New Haven, Connecticut, and Peter Howe of Boston's NECN-TV as we consider the politics behind the Tax Day Tea Party demonstrations April 15th and media coverage that helped numerous Republican candidates, including Connecticut's Rob Simmons, use Fox Network as a kind of Tax Day campaign headquarters.
You will not be able to stay home, brother.
In 1971, Gil Scott Heron released his hit song, The Revolution Will Not Be Televised. But events that were dubbed a Tax Day Revolution by some bloggers were televised and heavily promoted by Fox Network, according to Brian Frederick.
First came to our attention, and they really started following CNBC's Rick Santelli's now infamous rant from the floor of the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, where he said, President Obama, are you listening? We don't want to pay for our neighbors' mortgages, essentially was what his point was. And following that, about a week later, some local protests sprung up in random cities here and there. And these were mostly organized via Facebook and Twitter and social networking sites. They were very small. Local media covered them. But then they came up with the idea of having April 15th Tax Day protests. And at that point, some right-wing organizations seemed to put a little bit of weight behind them. And then eventually, about two or three weeks out, Fox News picked up the ball and ran with it. And it really was after Fox News decided to start promoting them that they became the national event that they did.
Brian Frederick is Deputy Editorial Director at Media Matters for America, where they have posted an audio history of the Tax Day media coverage, including this segment from Fox.
Hello, everyone, and happening now all across the country. They're protesters, and they're partying like it's 1773. It's anti-tax tea parties. And we wanted to give you a live look at Tulsa, just one of many parties going on in this growing grassroots movement of people that are just fed up with high taxes and big government spending. We're live on Taxed Enough Already, or Tea Party Day.
End the Fed. You got people who are outright wanting the Fed, the Federal Reserve, gone. You guys give me just 1 second, though, because I'm on your side. I'm trying to take down the Fed, but now you're going to be able to hear me if you do it.
That was Cody Willard of Fox Business there trying to take down the Fed. Fox sent him to Boston to cover a tea party in the very city where it all started.
The whole idea is these people there, too, are angry because these are the kids that are constantly being punished when the rates get cut to 0%, when the stimulus package borrows.
The video of Cody Willard was picked up by libertarian bloggers like Jim Rongstad, who described himself as a far-right social libertarian. Willard, also a favorite of former libertarian presidential candidate Ron Paul. Most of Fox's segments referred to Boston's historic Tea Party event, lending a patriotic tone to their coverage. Yet according to Brian Frederick, the participants at these events were not always so patriotic in their rhetoric.
You know, we rounded up in advance of these tea parties a bunch of signs from some of the previous tea parties that had occurred over the last few weeks and found some really disturbing signs. A lot of them reflect the rhetoric that's actually been taking place on Fox News, which is this idea of painting Obama and the Democrats as socialists, as communists, as fascists. We've seen a few signs that had Obama, you know, with a Hitler mustache or with a swastika. And so it's really extreme rhetoric that's going on. At some of these rallies, you can certainly find that. And And I think that the other media should be lauded for picking this up and noting it, and that Fox should be condemned for trying to pretend that that's not there. I mean, those signs are there, and it's disturbing.
There was also a lot of rhetoric about guns on Tax Day, and some of it from Fox commentator and former candidate for the Republican nomination, Mike Huckabee.
This policy is really an outrage against every American who simply believes that owning a firearm is okay, that being a part of a pro-life organization is okay. I mean, I am so busted on her list.
Mike Huckabee defended the right wing and gun rights after a report issued by Homeland Security Chief Janet Napolitano warning of threats from far right-wing extremists. The report came out just before Tax Day, and some of the pundits on with Huckabee took it personally.
The extraordinary thing, and the reason it got so much attention, is the fact that a week before these Tea Party protests, they came out with this, beware of right-wing extremists. Why didn't they just say extremists?
The report by Homeland Security featured prominently in Tax Day discussions online and on the air. The content suggested it was now members of the hard right who felt threatened by Homeland Security, a feeling expressed by at least some left-wing and progressive demonstrators during the Bush-Cheney years.
What protections are there here if you accidentally pick up a conversation from an American who is not connected to Al-Qaeda?
Back on December 16, 2005, Media Matters took note of a Fox News special report featuring author Ronald Kessler. He discounted as paranoid suggestions the government wanted to spy on anti-war protesters.
So we're talking about all these paranoid conspiracy theories about how the government wants to spy on us and they want to, you know, go after any war protesters. But the fact is there's never been one instance of that found.
Media Matters added an NBC report into the mix featuring Lisa Myers, who reported on the Pentagon spying on anti-war protesters.
A year ago in Lake Worth, Florida, at this Quaker meeting house,
hi everybody, welcome.
A small group of activists met to plan how to protest military recruiting at local high schools. What they didn't know was that their meeting had come to the attention of the U.S. military. This 400-page secret Defense Department document obtained by NBC News lists the Lake Worth meeting as a threat, one of 1,500 suspicious incidents across the country over a 10-month period. We showed the document to the group.
The incident type, threat. Wow.
This is incredible.
This peaceful, educationally oriented group being a threat is incredible.
This document is the first inside look at how the Pentagon has stepped up intelligence collection in this country since 9/11, even monitoring peaceful protests against the Iraq War.
Brian Frederick on the paranoia evident during some of the Tax Day Tea Party protests April 15th.
It's all part of a culture of conservative paranoia that's sort of bubbling up here. It's similar to what was going on in the 1990s, but it's this idea that government's going to take away your guns, that the American government and Obama is going to cede our sovereignty to, you know, the United Nations or a larger international government. It's this sort of anti-patriotic, in my mind, rhetoric that we saw a lot of in the 1990s. And you have network anchors on Fox, Mike Huckabee, Glenn Beck is especially behind this when he, you know, Glenn Beck games out scenarios, you know, about the destruction of the United States. It's really kind of frightening. He recently pretended to pour gas on one of his guests, and so he was Obama pouring gas on the American people and then lit a match. And this sort of undercurrent led to this Department of Homeland Security assessment, which actually was an intelligence assessment that began under President Bush, looking at returning military veterans and the likelihood that extremists and hate groups would target these military veterans. And so it's been misinterpreted by conservatives who have, for some strange reason, identified with extreme and right-wing hate groups. It's been misinterpreted to say that the Obama administration is targeting these right-wing groups. But in fact, you know, it's just an intelligence assessment talking about the tools right-wing hate groups are going to use in order to try and recruit new members. And those include this economic downturn, playing on fears about taking away guns, the fact that you have the first African-American president. These issues are all factors that would help recruiting of these groups. And so that's what this intelligence assessment was about. And it's, you know, something that, as I said, was started under the Bush administration. So these facts aren't really mentioned whenever, you know, Rush Limbaugh and Bill O'Reilly and some of these people mentioned this DHS report. But they're important facts, and they should be mentioned.
The April 15th Tax Day protests were also covered by Peter Howe of Boston's NECN-TV. Howe explained he tries to report stories as they are, without favoring left or right, though the Tea Party Day in Boston was definitely a day for the right wing, in his estimation.
The 236th anniversary of the Boston Tea Party doesn't come up for another 8 months, but several hundred protesters gathered in Boston for an early Tea Party celebration on tax filing day, an outcry against, well, the whole direction of the U.S. government.
We love America, and we love our freedoms. We will protect them to the end.
I believe that our country is in greater danger now than it's been at any time in the last 160 years since the Civil War. We're on this mad rush towards bankruptcy, mad rush towards socialism.
Now, this is the sort of crowd where if the question is, what are you here to protest? The answer might be, what do you got?
Taxes, Congress, Congressman Barney Frank, health care, alleged tyranny, and multilateralism.
We'll defend America, not the United Nations.
There was a little paranoia.
Are these guys bad?
We don't want him.
They're the federal government.
No, we're not the feds.
Well, what are you doing?
Same thing you are. I'm talking right now. Can you give me a minute, please, sir?
But one of the major things a lot of people here are most upset about is how big government has gotten and how expensive.
Our future, I'm concerned about our children and the debt that we will leave them with.
NECN-TV is a founding member of the New England Center for Investigative Reporting, put together in collaboration with journalism organizations in New England and Boston University. We asked NECN's Peter Howe to explain more about what protesters were talking about on Tax Day in Boston.
There was a whole lot of different agendas there. I sort of took people at face value that the biggest thing going on for most people was we are just alarmed at how big and how expensive government is.
At least some of the key organizers for Tax Day events like the one in Boston had worked on campaigns for conservative Republican and Libertarian candidates during the Bush-Cheney years. Their web activity, leading up to their involvement in the Tax Day events, involves many conversations about how to build up the conservative presence online and the Republican base nationwide, something Republican J. Kenneth Blackwell talked about during an interview with radio show host Hugh Hewitt, a former commentator on Fox's O'Reilly Show.
We got shellacked because the Democrats had not only the infrastructure, the technological infrastructure, they had the human capital, boots on the ground, human resources that were mobilized, and they just beat us in the exercise of a 50-state strategy.
Blackwell once headed the Republican National Committee in Ohio, a position he held while serving as Ohio's Secretary of State. Shortly after he made those comments, there was a flurry of activity online by political organizer Eric Odom, who coordinated monthly workshops on how to generate conservative blogging. Adam Bightley worked through his Conservative Bloggers Consortium Service Bureau to set up NetRight Nation. Bightley's group sponsored Roots HQ 2009, an organizing hub for Republican bloggers, and in turn, Tax Day Tea Party events. The talking points of organizers like these also turn up on websites run by supposedly grassroots organizers in various states. And there tend to be links to conservative politicians like Newt Gingrich, Ohio Republican John Boehner, who leads Republicans in Congress, and Fox's Glenn Beck, specifically Glenn Beck's 912 organization. The behind-the-scenes politics weren't lost on Peter Howe of Boston's NECN.
Watching this protest today makes you realize that November 2010, when we have our next congressional elections, really is not that far away, and there are a lot of people who are itching to see those new elections start as soon as possible.
I asked how to comment on what we had learned about the professional hand behind the amateur presence online having to do with organizing for Tax Day.
I believe in both the vast right-wing conspiracy and the vast left-wing conspiracy, and this was a day for the vast right-wing conspiracy.
Okay. I'm not quite sure I follow, but you're saying that this was in some ways not exactly a grassroots operation?
Oh, God, no. No, I mean, you couldn't organize something of this scope and scale without the resources of, you know, different groups organizing it, latching onto it. And I don't think it disqualifies people from expressing their opinion. You just kind of put it all out there and let viewers and readers decide what they think.
Were there candidates for office, let's say in 2010, the congressional race, or were there any candidates or any political people there at all?
Yes. One person I interviewed said he was planning to run for Congress in New Hampshire. Another person I interviewed had run for state Senate. I definitely think that there were other announced or planned candidates there.
You're listening to Sprouts, radio from the grassroots. I'm Dory Smith. CNN reporter Susan Rosgen became the focus of Tax Day anger at one of the larger events where she faced a hostile crowd, expressing anger at President Obama, Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi, and Democrats in general.
What is this supposed to mean? What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, he's a fascist. The pirates...
Wait, why do you say he's pirates. A fascist? He's the president of the United States.
He's a fascist.
Do you realize how offensive that is?
I think he's a fascist.
Why?
Because he is.
In what way can you say that?
Because the real pirates are in the White House, in the Senate, and in the Congress. We need one-term limits for all these elected politicians.
Why be so hard on the president of the United States, though, with such an offensive message?
Because he is. He's a fascist.
Okay, let's see. You're here with your two-year-old, and you're already in debt. Why are you here today, sir?
Because I hear a president say that he believed in what Lincoln stood for. Lincoln's primary thing was he believed that people had the right to liberty, and they had the right...
Sir, what does this have to do with taxes? What does this have to do with your taxes? Do you realize that you're eligible for a $400...
Let me finish my point. Lincoln believed that people had the right to share in the fruits of their own labor and that government should not take it. And we have clearly gotten to that point.
Did you know that the state of Lincoln gets $50 billion out of these stimulus? That's $50 billion for this state, sir.
Can you stop this, sir? Hold on.
Okay, well, Kira, we'll move on over here. I think you get the general tenor of this.
That clip went viral, and it will likely show up again as bloggers support their candidates, many of whom appeared at Tax Day events to initiate their political campaigns for 2010. There are at least 36 Senate seats being contested and all of the seats in the U.S. House of Representatives. There are hotly contested races shaping up in Florida, Pennsylvania, and Illinois, and Republican rhetoric on Capitol Hill has been aimed at shifting blame for this economic crisis onto Democrats, like U.S. Senator Chris Dodd, who now has a 33% approval rating in his home state of Connecticut. Dodd had a tough time explaining his role in legislation permitting corporate CEOs at companies like AIG to take big bonuses despite receiving bailout money. At the Fox Network affiliate in the state, Fox 61, reporters coaxed and cajoled former Republican Congressman Rob Simmons, teasing him about his thoughts of running against Dodd. A Quinnipiac University poll had shown the former 2nd District Congressman beating Dodd by a 50% to 34% margin. Dodd also trails State Senator Sam Calagiuri and former Ambassador Tom Foley. But Simmons clearly has more support within the local media, and Fox 61 has just been combined with Connecticut's largest newspaper, the Hartford Courant, where they have brought in Republican writers to staff a traditionally Democratic paper. Combined, these media outlets could give Simmons an edge for the nomination. Simmons was a pro-Bush, pro-Iraq War voice in September of 2002, helping the White House make their claims about weapons of mass destruction. The CIA agent turned congressman said Iraq was an imminent threat to Israel and the continental United States. He later stood with Bush and Cheney on torture and Guantanamo. And Simmons actually ran what's called a PIC, Province Interrogation Center, in Vietnam during the war. The program fell under the notorious Phoenix Project, according to writer Douglas Valentine, author of the book The Phoenix Program. Thomas McMillan of the New Haven Independent explained that Rob Simmons mentioned Vietnam during the short speech he gave at the Tax Day event in New Haven, Connecticut, before several hundred people.
In Vietnam, he was fighting for freedom, was the way he described it. And he never expected that this many years later, he'd be back in Connecticut fighting once again for freedom. So a lot of applause from the audience when he made this connection. But it seemed like the connection was that back in the Vietnam War, the U.S. was fighting against the threat of communism in Southeast Asia, and now we're back in Connecticut, and he seemed to be drawing a parallel there, as though, you know, maybe what these tax day protesters are doing is they're trying to squash a nascent socialist movement in the United States. But that was the sort of connection that he drew. And in general, I mean, he did seem to be, you know, obviously trying to use the momentum of the Tax Day Tea Party in New Haven to gain support for his political campaign. There were some people that I spoke with, more liberal people that showed up to the Tax Day protest, who were really surprised to see Rob Simmons there. They thought that it was a really bad move on his part, in that the Tax Day protest people seem to be much more sort of extremist, almost fringe people, and, you know, this might be really bad for his campaign to be associating with people that are calling Obama a socialist and calling for an end to gay marriage and saying some quasi-racist things about Obama, you know, just pushing a variety of sort of far-right agenda, you know, a viable Republican candidate might not want to be associated with. He was obviously trying to use the Tax Day Tea Party to his advantage, but it may have backfired depending on how people respond to the Tea Partiers.
Rob Simmons is no stranger to the emotional crowds like those at Tax Day Tea Parties in New Haven and Hartford, where he also spoke. Here he is railing against the state gasoline tax while supporting big oil back in 2006 as gasoline prices rose to $5 a gallon. This was Simmons during an interview on the Wayne Norman Talk Show, produced at WILI in Willimantic, Connecticut.
Keeping taxes down is critically important. Cost of gasoline is important, and I'm appalled to see that Connecticut's taxes on our gas are the highest in the region. Some of the political types will try to spin this against the oil companies. Oh, we're getting gouged. We're getting gouged by the government. We're not getting gouged by the oil company. The oil company makes between 17 and 20%, 20 cents profit on a gallon of gas. And what do for that profit? Well, quite frankly, they dig it the stuff out of the ground. They transport it in ships. They refine it. They distribute it. So, you know, for whatever they make out of that gallon of gas, they do some work. The government here in Connecticut collects 60 cents. On that gallon of gas, three times what the company gets. What does this? What does the government do for that? Nothing. What do they do? Nothing.
Tyson Slocum directs the energy program at the watchdog group Public Citizen. I asked him about Rob Simmons' comments.
That's totally false. The state pays for the externalities involved. I mean, the burning of petroleum causes health problems. The driving of cars has huge tolls on our infrastructure. There's the environmental footprint of the oil industry is very destructive. The government has to do a heck of a lot to make up for that. In all, taxes represent only about 10 to 15% of the total cost of a gallon of gas. The bulk of it is profits being earned by large oil companies and by energy traders on Wall Street.
And while Tyson Slocum works to achieve more regulation for the energy industry, Rob Simmons told WILI listeners he would, in fact, offer his services to businesses that might run afoul of government regulations, serving as a kind of free legal advisor and advocate. At the time, Simmons worked for the state of Connecticut as its business advocate, a job he wrote for himself, but lost after the state began to face economic shortfalls last year.
Governor Rell wants me to take the complaint, look into it, take it seriously, and try to help them out as best we can. And if that means calling a commissioner and asking for a little love, you know, from the regulatory department, then that's what we want. And that's what Governor Rell wants.
And most of which you know anyway from your years in Congress and even working in the state government.
Perfect. I mean, you're absolutely correct. What does a state representative do? Advocates for his district.
Now a candidate once again, Republican Rob Simmons, might start avoiding sounding like he is defending big oil or even local companies that might have angered his constituents. We tried to reach one of Rob Simmons' constituents and supporters, Pam Fowler of Branford, Connecticut, the organizer of Connecticut's Tea Party events. Pam Fowler put up links to Rob Simmons and also Newt Gingrich as her favorite candidates on her Facebook page. She also includes Fox Network's Glenn Beck and his 912 project and describes herself as an organizer for the Connecticut chapter of Glenn Beck's project as well. We left several messages with her, but she did not return our calls. Thomas McMillan said protesters rallying on a waterfront hill on Long Wharf Drive in New Haven held signs reading, "Hey, hey, no, no, get your hands off my dough," but he questioned their awareness of how Obama administration tax cuts are actually being implemented.
Despite Fox presenting this as a nationwide phenomenon, that Obama still has 60% approval ratings, and most polling indicators are showing that Americans are, in general, behind his platform and the work that he's done so far. It's unclear, you know, how much of this is trumped up. And some people definitely have made that charge, that this is not so much a grassroots campaign as it is an astroturf campaign, meaning that it's artificially spread from the top rather than coming organically from below.
Are you familiar with the song, Gil Scott Heron did it, "The Revolution Will Not Be Televised"?
Sure, yeah. This is the revolution being televised right here. On Fox Network. Gil Scott Heron would never have predicted that it would come from Fox Network, I would imagine.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out.
Leanne Caldwell, Washington editor at Free Speech Radio News, covered a different form of tax day revolution and resistance going on in Washington, D.C. April 15th.
On this cold, rainy day in Washington, D.C., Bob Alabach has been doing the same thing he does every April 15th.
When the bill is due on April 15th, don't pay it.
Since World War II, Alabach has refused to pay his taxes.
I figure that we've got to protest against war in every way possible, and money that they collect from our income tax and other taxes, that goes mostly for the military.
This year's protest is smaller than it has been in years past, but Alabach and Carol Moore are standing outside the IRS dedicated to their cause.
I don't want my tax money used to kill people overseas or even in this country, you know, with the militarization of law enforcement. There's only a couple of us today, but just basically telling the IRS there are people who refuse on moral grounds to pay for war.
These protesters are not far off in their assessment. This year, the largest percentage of your tax dollar will go to the military, which includes the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, national defense, weapons procurement, including nuclear weapons, and interest paid on the military debt. Joe Comerfield is executive director of the National Priorities Project.
So when we think about the priorities right now that we're looking at for the fiscal year 2008 budget, it's military one with 37.3 cents.
37 cents of every tax dollar is for the military. Translated, for a family of four with a median income, about $67,000 per year, federal income taxes paid are about $4,500. And more than $1,600, or nearly a third, is going to the military. And that does not include care for veterans.
And you can find the rest of that report by Leanne Caldwell at the website fsrn.org. That's it for Sprouts. We heard Thomas McMillan of the New Haven Independent, Brian Frederick, Deputy Editorial Director at Media Matters for America in Washington, D.C., and we aired clips from MediaMatters.org and County Fair blog, and we heard Peter Howe of Boston's NECN-TV, plus the music of Gil Scott Heron. The revolution will not be televised. Sprouts is a weekly program produced in collaboration with community radio stations and independent producers across the country, bringing you local radio productions of national interest. The program is coordinated and distributed by Pacifica Radio, thanks to Michael Yoshida at Satellite Operations. If you or someone at your station has a radio program you wish to rebroadcast on Sprouts to showcase it nationally, contact Air Traffic Controller Ursula Rudenberg at Ursula, URSULA, at Pacifica.org. I'm Dori Smith, producer of Talk Nation Radio in Storrs, Connecticut. Thank you for listening, and see you next week on Sprouts.